Philippians 3:17-4:1. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work.
Thank you for reading that scripture, Joanne. I really appreciate it. Today's message is about us being the citizens of heaven. And that scripture is actually quite self-explanatory. I don't have to go into too much detail, but I'm going to break down some bits and pieces for you. But first, I want to start with this story. So in 1988, a man flew from Scotland to France, and he landed in Charles de Gaulle Airport. And when he came to immigration and all of these bits and pieces, you know, when you have to pick up and you get your baggage and you get you get all your particulars together, and then you have to go there and you have to show your passport and all your papers and things like that. He didn't have any papers. He didn't have any passport. And in fact, he was saying that his bags had been stolen. So if you've ever been at a passport control, you know that they want to know exactly where you're coming from. They want to see that your papers, you've got the stamp, you've got all of the papers to go through into the country that you're supposed to be going into. Now, this is an amazing story about this gentleman. He was actually from Iran, and he had flown from Scotland there. And when he landed, as he said, he didn't have any papers. And so they couldn't work out where he was from or why he was there and what his intentions were. And he didn't want to disclose anything except for the fact that he was saying he's a British citizen. He was born in Iran, but he was saying, I'm a British citizen. And they're saying, okay, but have you got any papers? Have you got anything that will support your evidence? And that, and he said, no, I'm a British citizen. I've had everything stolen. I'm a British citizen. I'm a British citizen. And he could just about speak English at that time. So what happens in those cases, obviously, they have to ascertain whether you, or not you are a British citizen or where you come from. It was an interesting story, because if you've ever had to wait in an airport, or if you ever had to wait for a connection between flights, you know that that can be a worrying time. Or I remember flying with people and, you know, they look at the passport and they ask you to come to another room to have some questions. So you can imagine what was happening there. And if they can't ascertain where you're from, what they will do is they will basically hold you or keep you there while they try and go through their investigations. So this happened in 1988. Now, a lot of things happened in that period of time, but can you imagine that this wasn't resolved for a long period of time? So if you can imagine, I've had a layover before where we've missed a flight and we've had to wait somewhere else and then come and get another flight, yeah? Or I've seen people that have been waiting and they've been there for a couple of days. Or if you watch the TV programs, you know, they're investigating people, things like that, for a couple of days. So now this gentleman was kept in the airport, and he wasn't kept there for one day or even 2 days or 3 days, not even a week. This was not resolved for 18 years. I repeat that, 18 years. He stayed in Terminal 1, Charles de Gaulle Airport, for 18 years. An amazing story. His name was Mr. Narisi, affectionately known as Sir Alfred, as he called himself. And he was famous. And, you know, it was even, his story was even told in a more, Disney-fied version of his story in a film called The Terminal. But this is a true story. He was there for 18 years in that transit place, sitting there. He worked in, he got a job in the airport. He fed there, he slept there, he ate there in this transition place in Terminal 1, all while they were trying to agree or get him to agree to his citizenship. France offered him citizenship. Belgium offered him citizenship so that he could leave or what have you. He didn't want to accept it. He was insisting that he was a British citizen. Interesting story, isn't it? Now, this thing about citizenship, immigration, refugees, it's a topic that can touch many, many areas, people, countries, you name a country where it isn't on the agenda, people coming in and people coming out, who comes in and who comes out, who could become a citizen, what all of these different things. It's a really important subject. In fact, if you talk about here in London, in the UK, we've had this whole discussion around Brexit. Are we in Europe? Are we our own citizens? Are we a citizen of Europe? All of this discussion happening. You have the same thing in the States where they people are trying to cross the border and become citizens of America, and people are saying that, no, we're going to build a wall, or they're not going to build a wall, or families are being separated from their children, and all of these different things just to become a citizen of a new place. Now, Paul is writing to the Philippian church, and they are actually citizens of Rome, and the whole of Philippi was a Roman province. So they were actually citizens of Rome. And so that came with a number of benefits. It came with a number of rules, regulations, things like that, that affected their lives. And he was talking about this in that perspective is probably the best way to describe. So when we talk about citizenship, I'm going to read this now, is a legally recognized, a citizen is a legally recognized subject or state of a commonwealth. And they can be either native, either born citizens, or naturalized through a number of processes. And naturalized is where you become a citizen. Now, it's really interesting, this thing about citizenship, because all around the world, there's different ways in which people can become citizens. There are tests that people can do. If you come to UK, you might have to have a citizenship test. Do you know the history? Do you understand the country that you're going into? Do you know some of the important figures, things that have happened? You can have a test. In some countries, you can go through a lotto system to become a citizen, where you have to wait for your ticket to come up to see if you can become a citizen. Or in some countries, if you're married to somebody, you can become a citizen. Some places you have to go through a long application process. Others, if your ancestry is from that place, then you can actually become a citizen. So many of us that have come from other places, that depending on where your heritage is from, your ancestry is from, you can become a citizen of that your native country. Some people come in and they're refugees and they're looking for asylum, and they can apply and they might be granted citizenship. Some, if you've served in their military, you can become a citizen. Now, others, you might have to invest in the country and you can become a citizen. But it's really interesting that there are a number of things which people have to do. And if your parents or your second generation or third generation born here, if you talk to your elders, your seniors, and ask them what they had to do to come over here, the cost, the preparation, the anxiety even to see if they can become a citizen. We've had it in the news even recently over the years about people that were here, came with their family, and they were assumed that they were supposed to be citizens, and then the law changed and they didn't have passports and they weren't recognized as citizens. So they were similar to this guy that was in Charles de Gaulle Airport, and they were saying, well, where's your papers? And he was saying, I haven't got papers, I'm a citizen. Really topical. It affects so many different areas. It's there's a cost associated to this. There's so many things, but the benefits of becoming a citizen of an area is amazing. You know, when you go to become a citizen, you are subject to the laws of that country or the protection of that country. I've got a list here. I mean, with citizenship comes powers, comes rights, comes protection, comes authority, comes benefits. There's laws. It even if you are a citizen of some countries, it gives you right passage into other areas. It means you can trade. There's so many different things that you could, in some places, it gives you right to obviously own a home or a business or study or whatever it is. But citizenship comes with a set of benefits. I would like to use another example. When you have a consulate or an embassy within a country, if we had the UK embassy and it was in China, anybody that was in that side, that UK embassy is subject to the citizenship and the kingdom rules of the UK, not China, inside that embassy. Outside of that embassy, no, you're subject to China's rules. Inside that embassy, you're subject to the citizenship rights and protocols and laws and powers and authorities and trade and benefits of that citizenship that you came from, of London. It's a powerful thing, citizenship. It gives rights, it gives so many things associated with it, and that's why people want it. And people look all around the world and they want to become citizens of many countries, many places. And it's not that easy to become citizens in a number of countries. I was looking it up, and there are some places where you can't become a citizen. There are some places where it's very difficult to become a citizen. For example, China. If you look at China, they've got over 1.4 billion people. And so more people in that land is something that they're not struggling for or they want to necessarily have. They even sometimes limit the size of your family because there is limited space. So other people coming in to become a citizen is very, very difficult. Some of the most difficult places to become a citizen could be like the Vatican. The Vatican is its own city, country, if we call it that. And you can only become a citizen of the Vatican if you are, if you've had a letter from the Pope or you're working for, or you're a cardinal or you work in that, in the Vatican. That's the only way you can become it. And it's impossible for anybody to just come and just become a citizen and benefit from all the rights that are there. Monaco. Monaco is an interesting one. For you to become a citizen in Monaco, you have to be living there for a period of 10 years. And you can't also be a member of anybody's army or be conscripted to be part of somebody else's army. And there are other rules that come in line which relate to becoming a citizen. Equatorial Guinea. For you to become a citizen in Equatorial Guinea, one of the first requirements for you to become a citizen is that you have to be living there for 40 years prior to your application. Can you imagine? 40 years living in a place prior to be able to have any of the rights of that country. So this is an amazing, amazing thing, this talk about citizenship. And it relates to Commonwealth, it relates to cities, it relates to rights. And we have to consider where our citizenship is and what our citizenship is about. I'm just going to share a screen. Hold on. So I want to read the scripture again. It says, "For I have told you often before, and I say it again, with tears in my eyes, that there are many of those that can, whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for them, or for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control." So Paul is talking to the Philippian church, and he's saying to them, I want you to consider how you are, what you look, how you live, what your conduct is like. When you're a citizen of London, when you're a citizen of any country that we can talk about, you have to consider what are the rules that you have to obey. What are the things that you must do? How can you talk? How do you behave? How do you worship? How do you do all of these things? Because you have to consider the country that you're in. So if you flew to different countries, there are different rules that apply for those citizens that are there. Now, Paul is pleading to the church, saying, look, I've told you before, and I say it with tears in my eyes, that there are many people whose conduct show that they are real enemies of the cross of Christ. And I relate this to, you know, us having our papers, our passports, that shows our citizenship. And the way that we live our lives and our conduct shows partly where our destiny is. It shows what we believe in. It shows what we're thinking about. It shows what we believe in and who we support. And there are some people that are living in a lifestyle whose conduct shows that they're really enemies of the cross of Christ. They don't believe in the principles of Christ, the principles of the kingdom, the principles of what God is saying. Obviously, before being saved, that's me, that's all of us. And we must consider that there are these realms, these areas that we might be crossing in. There's these borders that we are in. But there are two main realms that we are living in, yeah? There's the heavenly realm and the earthly realm. Let's just start there. You could say the spiritual realm and the natural realm. There's these realms which are kingdoms, which are principalities. There are areas which you can belong to. You can belong to the heavenly realm or the earthly realm. Now, it's interesting that the way that the word describes these two realms, and we talk about heaven, and that is like the kingdom, the realm of light. And you talk about earth, and you can talk about the realm of darkness. And God is the king of heaven and everywhere. And Satan is the prince of the earth and darkness. And in heaven, it's described as life. And without heaven, there's also just death. Satan is the prince of death and evil. Now, it's interesting because what they use to ascertain somebody's citizenship, what God uses to ascertain people's citizenship, how Paul describes it here in the word about different citizenship, is by looking at how they behave and what realm that they're in and what they're demonstrating. And it says here, so they are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think about this life here on earth. so many ways you can interpret that, but the way that I'm interpreting that is, as well, is that, you know, that the life that we lead, the actions that we do, the thoughts that we have, the ways that we conduct ourselves, we've got a choice to make, you know? Do we follow all of our appetites, our lusts, just be guided by our feelings, our what we think about, what we like, what we don't like? Do we do that? Do we demonstrate that, you know, we don't have any concern, any thinking about what Christ is saying and this life that is happening after we live this life here on earth? Do we brag about shameful things? Do we, you know, many of us have lived lives where we haven't lived up to the calling of what Christ has called us. And sometimes we bragged about it. It is our boast to say, yes, this is me. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in this God or a God or all of these things. And I'm bragging about it. And I'm living just for my life, my own wants, my own desires, and even just bragging about shameful acts and things that I've done as if it makes me a big person, or as if it makes me the king on this earth. Now, Paul is pleading with tears in his eyes to say that, no, we must consider our thinking, must consider our ways, and not be, as it says here in verse 19, headed for destruction. When I talk about two realms, there's also what I call, there's a number of births that you can have, but I'm going to talk about two births. You've got your birth here on earth, and you've got your birth in eternity. So when you close your eyes here for the last time, and then you open your eyes there on the other side of eternity, you're birthed into another realm and another eternity. And we have to consider how we live our lives and what they're going to do when we get to immigration, if we call it that, at in heaven. Paul's here saying, but listen, we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. So here, Paul is describing this citizenship that we have in heaven. And there are many scriptures all dotted around the Bible that talk around how citizens are, or what's happening in this afterlife, in the place that we actually originate from, or God is calling us to. So as if you can remember, citizenship is something that you can apply for in the earthly realm, if we call it that. Yeah, you can apply for it. Can I become a citizen? Or you have to go through a test. And citizenship here might come by a lotto, or by a marriage, or by a application, or ancestry. All of these different things, as I said before, talk about how people become citizens. And some of them are very similar to this conversation about becoming or existing as a citizen of heaven. And our minds, and what we think about, and how we do it, and how we conduct our lives. Now, in history, you can see in many different religions that they believe that the way that you enter into heaven is by your works, your tests, your conduct, how long you've been doing something, how long you've been living away, and that there's a set of scales. And that if the scales weigh heavily on the good side, you will be granted citizenship of heaven, and your papers will be stamped and you'll go through. Or if it weighs heavily on the bad side, you will be rejected at immigration and you'll be deported back to hell, if we call. And the way that Paul describes it is this, that, you know, what your the heavenly realm is where God is, where our King is, where the Father is. And separation from that realm is the worst thing that can happen for you. Rejection from that realm, from your creator, your source, is the worst thing that can happen to you. Being deported from that place is the worst thing that can happen to you. And partly he's saying that, you know, we should consider our conduct and consider the citizenship that we have. Where are we? What are we doing? What are we demonstrating? Why are we demonstrating? Whose are we demonstrating for? Under whose realm, under whose authority, under all of these different things do we live? It's a really powerful thing. It says here, we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our savior. There are benefits also to citizenship. As I said before, you know, there are powers, there are rights, there are protection, there's authority, there's laws, there's passage, there's trade. When you are a citizen of heaven, you are subject to those laws. So these laws on earth are not necessarily subject to you because you're subject to the laws in heaven, just like being in that embassy. So when you look at some of the laws, like there are limitations here on earth, limitations to possibilities and things like that. But the scripture says that with God, all things are possible. There's a right that are afforded to you. You know, by becoming a citizen of heaven, there are powers which are on your side. There are heavenly bodies that are on your side. There's the Spirit of God that is on your side. There's government that is over you. There's protection that is over you by being a citizen of heaven. There's authority, obviously, which is God's authority, not the world's authority. There are benefits. There are laws that benefit you. I like this one. There's passage. Just like having a passport, there are places that you can go because of your citizenship in heaven, because you belong to the King, that you can go now because you have your papers, you have your passport, you cannot be stopped. They'll stamp you and walk you through. Whereas prior to that, you don't. There are blockages. There are things that you have to pay for, things that you have to apply for. It's not easy. Remember, a citizen is somebody that is legally recognized as a subject of a state or of a commonwealth. You are legally recognized as a person of the citizenship of heaven. Whether or not you were born there originally, or you are naturalized, as we can talk about as well. This might seem strange why I'm talking about this immigration or citizenship, but God is really kind of trying to remind us that we need to be thinking about where our citizenship is. Who are we aligned with? It's very easy for us to sit in a gap and say, like that man before, I'm not a citizen of Iran anymore, or I'm not a citizen of France. I just want to be this citizen here. So there are some people that demonstrate with their lives that they don't want to be a citizen of God's realm. They don't want to be that at all. They don't want to have any of those papers, any association with that. And so that's not what they're proposing to. They're citizens of their own life. They don't even want to be a citizen of humanity, if we call it that. It's just about them and them. And it's easy for us to be in any of these states, either aligned to the world and its systems and its thinking and its ways and its authorities and its powers and all of these things, or aligned to just you on your own and just saying, I'm my own state and that's it. Or you can also be a citizen of God's heaven. One of the things that I want to remind us about is a crucial thing, which is applies here on earth and also applies here in heaven. Many countries, when you apply for citizenship, there's one rule that you have to have, and it's a very powerful rule. What that rule is, you have to renounce citizenship of any other authority or of any other country. So you can't be dual citizens. Some places you can, but and many you have to completely renounce. So if you become a city or a citizen of Saudi Arabia, in fact, you have to renounce any other citizenship that you have. Not only that, you have to convert to Islam as well to become a citizen of Saudi Arabia. There are many, many countries where you they say, if you're going to be our citizen, Monaco, another one, or lots of other places, and they say you cannot hold dual citizenship. And Christ is saying the same thing to us in heaven. You cannot hold dual citizenship. By that, I mean, you cannot be a citizen of heaven and a citizen of Satan, if we call it that, or a citizen of the earth, only the earth, or any other place that you want to play. You're either in his camp or you're not. You're either hot or you're cold. You're either with him or you're against him. You're either for the cross and the savior or you're against. You cannot hold dual citizenship. And today God is reminding us that we have to continue to live our lifestyle to remember the citizens that we have. And for anybody that's out there that hasn't made their decision, God is saying to you, make your decision. Are you going to be a citizen of heaven or are you going to be a citizen of earth? And it's fine, you choose which one you want, but you cannot be both. And as easy as it is to be think that we can be both or want to be both, we have to choose. As I said, the two realms, you've got the heaven, you've got the light and you've got the darkness. And I talk about those two birthplaces as well. Your birthplace here on earth and your birthplace the other side of eternity. What God is going to do when you become a citizen of heaven, as I said, he's going to allow you to have all the benefits of knowing him, being with him, being under his authority, being under his control, being under his powers, under his protection, under his love. Similar to what was described before about this adoption, where people have been adopted, when you're adopted into a family, you're adopted into that name and you have all of the rights of that family. You can inherit, you can call father, father, mother, mother, brother, brother. You are legally recognized citizen of that family. And what God is saying to us is that he wants to remind us that we are citizens of heaven. Our minds should be set on heaven. There are scriptures that say, do not be conformed to this world, but be but by the renewing of your mind. It's lost for me. By the renewing of your mind, we should be remembering that we should be transformed into these people which are remembering their citizenship, their understanding their citizenship of heaven. There are scriptures which talk about what God has got in the realm of heaven prepared for us. There's homes and places, and obviously communion with him, which is the main thing. Let us make a decision where we want to be, where we want to hold our citizenship, which papers we want to hold. Do you want to be stuck here on earth in transition for however long your years are here, still not knowing where you are or claiming a citizenship which you have by right? There is one thing to remind you about citizenship that is always there. There is always a cost associated to citizenship. Citizenship might be time, as we said before. It might be your application. It might be fees. It might be tests. It might be all of these things. But there is hope for us to have citizenship in heaven. And that cost has already been paid. That ticket has already been paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. His death has made a way for us to become a citizen of heaven. His death and his resurrection has made a way for us to become a citizen of heaven. And we don't have to leave it up to a test, scales. You don't have to leave it up to luck of a lotto. Maybe I'll get in or maybe I won't. Interestingly, yes, you can be married to Christ. We are the bride of Christ and be accepted into heaven. We can make our application via Christ. We can take on an ancestry via Christ. We might be already as refugees or in asylum, or we don't have the money for the investment. Some places cost £50,000 just for the application process. But just like many, we have to make a decision whether or not we're going to take on Christ's citizenship or we're going to reject it. It's a very short word today, but I'm here to just remind us to consider where we need to hold our citizenship. And we want to adhere to the word that says, which Paul was writing to the Philippian church, we are citizens of heaven. If you're not a citizen of heaven and you don't know that you're a citizen of heaven, or you never applied, we have an opportunity for you to do so as well. There's provision that has been made for you. Application has been made for you. All you have to do is just sign your name. It was interesting, the person I was talking about before, Mr. Narisi, there were countries that were offering him citizenship, but he wouldn't sign his name on the form. He's saying, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be French. I don't want to be from Belgium. I want to be a British citizen. And many of us have done that by knowing what the finished work of Christ on the cross has done and provided for us, but we haven't signed our name or applied to be a citizen. And for those who are already citizens, we need to consider and remember we are citizens of heaven. We are subject to that authority, rule, benefit, powers, protection, love, provision, all of those things. We'll even have, if it says in 21, he'll take our mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies, even our bodies. So I want to say to you today, and I really want to just end with this, to say that immigration is still open. Immigration is still open for those who are not too sure where they stand, if they're in the gap or they're not too sure whose citizenship they are or where they want to be. God is saying to you today, there is open immigration. Come through my son. Come and get your papers signed so that when you hit that second birth, when you close your eyes this side and you open your eyes that side, you will not be worrying about whether or not you are a citizen of all of these other realms. You will have your papers. And with that, I'm going to end by a prayer of salvation. I'm going to ask everybody to say this with me. And especially those that want to become a citizen of heaven, this is how we do it. We consider our ways. We look at his ways. We repent. That means turn around. That means apply. That means apply to be in his kingdom. That means to join with him. That needs to ask forgiveness for the way that we've lived. And I'm going to read this prayer. It says this: Heavenly Father, I realize that I am a sinner and I have broken your laws. I understand that my sin has separated me from you. I'm sorry, and I ask you to forgive me. I accept the fact that your son, Jesus Christ, died for me, was resurrected, and is alive today, and hears my prayers. I now open my heart's door and invite Jesus in to become my Lord and my Savior. I give him control and ask that he will rule and reign in my heart so that his perfect will be accomplished in my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And I'm going to pray for anybody that has said that prayer with me and for those that have already said that. Father, we thank you for the fact that you have created us and given us access to and given us papers to and passport to and ability to be in your kingdom with you and your son. Lord, I pray for anybody that has said that prayer for the first time. Lord, will you bestow upon them all the benefits of the kingdom, all the benefits of kingdom citizenship? Will you give them freedom from this old life and passport into this new life with you. Help them, as Paul said, to forget that life that they have had behind them and move forward to the call that is in Christ Jesus. We say thank you. We bless you, O Lord, because we know that you are in full control of our lives. We know that we are part of your kingdom now going forward. We know that we can partake and learn and start this journey with you, passage through life, until we get to this passage of eternity with you, knowing that we are safe and secure in you. We renounce our citizenship, Lord, of the other realms. We renounce the citizenship of darkness, of Satan, of our own situation and life. And we declare in Jesus' name that you, are our Lord, and our citizenship reigns with you. And we take hold of our passport and we go into eternity with you. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We bless you. And I just commit everybody to you with thanksgiving in my heart, knowing that you have paid that price for us. Something that we could never afford. We could never get by our ancestry. We could never get by our works. We could never get by lotto. Never get by application or test. You've paid it and you've done it for us. And we say thank you. In Jesus' name.